I'll ask you to turn to Philippians chapter number 2. And I want to do just a little something tonight. I want to preach on a little subject tonight and called the blueprint. The blueprint of Christian living is what I want to title my message. The blueprint of Christian living. Have you ever had a blueprint brought to you at your place of employment? And maybe you've never worked at a place like that. Maybe you just go in and you never had to read a blueprint. Maybe you've never had to do none of them things. But if you've had to do that and it was brought in and set before you, and you just look, you ever looked at it and said, I really don't know what that is. And then somebody explained to you, well, if you'll do this, this, and this, if you'll put it together the way the blueprint says, it'll work. I'll never forget, I was at Sproul Trust one day, and I reverenced back to there because God, I've got my PhD from post hole digging, amen? I know a lot about PhD from working on post hole diggers and doing them kind of things, but I'll never forget, a blueprint was brought in one day from NACO, and we was going to build some skids, and old Roland Flynn was out there, and he was going to be our time management man. And he said, I tell you what, we'll put BJ out there, and ever how fast he runs is on the pay scale that we'll get paid on. Well, you know when you're in time management and they do the pay scale on you, you run the slow as you can run, and then when they walk off, you run as fast as you can run to make more money. Some of us will tell the truth and some of us will lie, amen? That's what time scale's about. It's not, you got to make your money the way you can. So while he was there, I did not have the safety tied back on that old gun, and we'd just nail them pallets together, and I'd shoot a nail, and I said, boy, it sure is pretty out there, and I'd shoot another nail. He's like, you got to quit wasting time and build one. And I built that by the blueprint that was there. And as I thought about that blueprint today as I was studying and this week, I thought about when he walked off what happened. The blueprint said we could build so many for NACO in so length of time. And I wanted to make me a little bit more money, and I didn't want to go by the blueprint. And I didn't want to go by the way we were supposed to do things. So I said, I know what I'll do. I'll tie the safety back on that nail gun, and I'll get to build them things a lot faster. And every time you built 10, Brother Dylan Barnes, can I get amen? Every time you built 10, you put a band around it, band it up, stick it to the side. You had 10 made. That was your money. You went on. Well, I'll never forget. I banded my first 10 and set it to the side, and old boy come out there. He said, how you doing? I said, man, I'm blowing through this like you'd never believe. I've been just going right through it. And he was talking to me, and I was nailing them things away. And I said, doop. I said, oh, man, I missed a nail. And I didn't even know that I was. And I said, man, where'd that nail go? He said, oh, no. And I said, what is it? He said, it's in your leg. Man, I looked down, and it was blood running. I didn't even know that I'd been injured. And I just got to the point I about passed out. I had to sit down. Folks, I want you to know tonight, if you don't go by the blueprint that God has called, you may not feel the pain right now, but the pain will show up. If you don't go by the blueprint that God has laid out for you and I tonight, it will not go together the way it should. And your life will have pain afflicted upon it. I want you to know tonight that as we study this word in Philippians, it's all about one man, and his name is Christ Jesus tonight. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5, I would ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. The blueprint, maybe you've been trying to go against what God's called you to do. Maybe you've been trying to go a different way or a different route. Let's look into the word tonight. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5 in the old King James Bible says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, reached to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, we love you. We've already sung, I can only imagine tonight. Father God, I can only imagine what heaven's going to be like. Father God, I can only imagine what it's going to be like tonight when we see Jesus face to face. Lord God, I'd pray tonight that you sweep through this service tonight. pray tonight that we look at the blueprint that you have set forth in our life, that we're doing it the right way. We're doing it the biblical way, Father God. We're not doing it about our feelings or our wants or whatever, Father God, but we're doing your will. Father God, we realize tonight it don't matter if our will gets done or not, as long as your will gets done. Lord God, we're not here tonight for our will. We're here tonight for your will. Father, I love you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for Calvary. And Father God, I thank you tonight. When I don't know what to do or where to turn, I can look to the blueprint that is found in this Bible, and it'll teach me the right way. Father, I love you, and Father, I thank you. I ask it all in Jesus Christ's name. Guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Father God, guard this word tonight, that Father God, I would preach it from this sacred desk the way that you would have it preached. Lord, the things that I don't need to say right now, I pray in Jesus' name that you would hold me back from it. And but Father God, the things that need to be said, I pray tonight you would loosen my tongue. Father God, you loosen me up and let me preach. Father, I love you, and Father, I thank you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we ask and do pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. The blueprint for Christian living tonight. The blueprint for Christian living. Let me give you this tonight. Many times as believers, we become discouraged, defeated, and disgruntled because we're looking to other people and not looking to Jesus tonight. Can I say to you tonight, if you're in that place in your life, you're discouraged or you're defeated or you're getting disgruntled in the work of the Lord, it's tonight because you're not looking at Jesus. You've took your focus off the cross and you've put it on the crowd. You took your focus off the crowd and you've put it not on the cross. So tonight I would say to you, that as we look at this tonight, we should be looking to Jesus. The blueprint given points straight to Jesus tonight. And if you was going to look at a blueprint tonight, there'd be some things that you would have to do. There'd be some things that you would have to look at. Let's look at the verse number 5 tonight. How do you understand that blueprint for Christian living? Folks, I want you to know tonight, Christian living is not just coming to the altar, kneeling down, asking Jesus Christ into your heart, getting up and walking back out. Can I give you this tonight? If He's Savior of your life, He must be Lord of your life. If all you say, all I want Him to do is be my Savior, but I don't want Him to lord over me, He will not be your Savior. If He can't be Lord of all, He's not Lord at all tonight. He wants to be your Lord tonight, and He wants to be your Savior tonight. I believe in so many churches that we go into, including this one tonight, you can see in the flock, and you can see also from the pulpits when we go to places. I want you to know tonight that if He is your Savior tonight, He must be your Lord. When He becomes your Savior and His, your Lord, it's no longer your opinion or your way. It becomes His will and His way tonight. But He says tonight in verse number 5, the first way that you can understand that blueprint tonight is by examining the mind of Christ. By examining the mind of Christ. And I wouldn't talk about the mind up here that you can look into and know God's thoughts, because you can't know God's thoughts and you can't know what God's thinking, because He is God alone. Amen? But tonight, it would be His attitude tonight. It says tonight in verse number 5, let this mind, so examine that mind tonight, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus tonight. The Bible says in Psalm 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man tonight. Friends, I want you to know tonight, if you'll trust in God, your confidence will be built up. If you trust in God tonight, you'll have courage. But I want you to know tonight, if you're looking to a man, if you're looking to an individual tonight that you can see with your physical eyes tonight, you will be let down. Your confidence level will go down. But if you'll put your vision on Christ Jesus tonight, can I say to you tonight, you can be free in this place tonight. Amen. He says tonight to examine the mind of Christ, or that would be the attitude tonight. If I was going to look at the mind of Christ, He said, let this mind. So we must let that mind come inside of us. We must let that attitude come inside of us tonight. He said this night, the mind of Christ, He has a mind of humility tonight. Jesus Christ, when He came, He come as a humble servant of God Almighty. He says that in the Scripture, that He became humble to do what God had called Him to do. But let me give you this tonight. That mind of humility, it's not to be taken for weakness tonight. Oh, it's not weak tonight. That mind of humility tonight is one that's under control tonight. I heard Adrian Rogers say this morning, and I love what he said. He said, I want you to know, and that boy, it just tickled my heart and it set me on fire when he said it. He said, I want you to know tonight, if you want to speak in tongues, if you want to speak in tongues in an unknown tongue, if you want to do things that you think that you need to do through the Spirit of God, he said, I got something for you to do. Tame that tongue that you got. I said, glory to God, amen. He said, I want you to know the Bible says, can no man tame that tongue? Friends, I want you to know tonight, if that mind's going to be in me, that is also in Christ Jesus, I must have humility in each and everything that I do. I must be in the subjection of the Holy Ghost. Friends, I want you to know tonight, I've been called to be your pastor. I preach in this place. I'm not running for man of the year. I'm not running for preacher of the year. I'm not running for an attaboy. I'm running to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven tonight. Friends, I want you to know tonight, if you're looking for an attaboy, or if you're looking to get some kind of reward around here, I want you to know what we do is we serve Almighty God in this place. And we do that by having a mind like Christ Jesus, of humility. We get to that place where we're under subjection of what God would have us to do. He said that we're under that humility tonight. But also another thing that Jesus Christ did, not only did he have a mind of humility, but he had a mind of obedience tonight. In the Word of God, not only was he in humility, he had humility when he came, and he walked and he talked and he humbled himself. But I want you to know tonight, he was also obedient to what God would have him to do. He was obedient to the Spirit of God. He allowed the Spirit of God to lead him. He allowed the Spirit of God to feed him. He allowed the Spirit of God to take care of him. Friends, I want you to know tonight, to be obedient to God, that is to walk with God in every aspect of your life tonight. He says, when we look into the Word tonight, and I see it, he says that humility tonight, but also that obedience. He said this, look here. He said in verse number six, who being in the form of God, that mind of obedience is being in the form of God. Can I say to you tonight, when Jesus Christ came, he came in human flesh. He put on human flesh, but he was God Almighty. Amen. That's who he was. He says tonight, the mind of humility, the mind of obedience, but also the mind of compassion tonight. If there's one thing we need in our walk tonight, to look at that blueprint, not only do we need humility when we examine the mind of Christ, not only do we need obedience when we examine the mind of Christ, but we need compassion like Christ Jesus tonight. He says in Luke 7:13, and Jesus saw her and had compassion upon her. You know what had happened? The centurion had just come and said, one of my soldiers, he's sick unto death. And he said, I'll come that way. And he said, look, I'm under a man under authority. Don't come this way. You just speak the word and he'll be healed. And then he said, after he was healed, he seen this woman come. And she was a widow and her son had died. And when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said, weep no more. So tonight, not only we should have humility, not only we should have obedience as Christ, not only should we have compassion as Christ, but let me give you this. When you examine the mind of Christ, a lot of people want God in their heart, but they don't want him in their mind. You can't have one without the other. It won't work. If he's in your heart, he will be in your mind. Let me give you this. Not only is he a mind of humility, mind of obedience, a mind of compassion, but he is a mind of forgiveness tonight. My friends, I want you to know, in Luke 23:34, the Bible says that Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. When he was hanging on that cross, he had compassion, but he also had forgiveness when he hung on that cross. I ask you a question tonight. Do you have a forgiving attitude, or do you have a grudging attitude? If somebody was doing you wrong tonight, would you be very forgiving, or would you be soon to be grudgeful, judgmental at what they was doing against you? Folks, I want you to know tonight, if you're walking around in the Spirit of God and you got the mind of God, you ought to have a forgiving attitude. Your attitude ought to be forgiving and saying, Lord God, I know I've examined the Word of God. I've seen in the Word of God how that your mind should be inside of me. Your walk should be inside of me. Your talk should be inside of me. Folks, I want you to know tonight, not only in verse number 5, we examine the mind of Christ, but look in verse number 7, we evaluate the reputation of Christ. Oh my goodness, not only the mind, but his reputation. If I ask you tonight what kind of reputation Jesus had, a lot of you would probably say he had a good reputation. Nothing bad could be said about him. Folks, you know what tonight? Good people has bad things said about them. Hello? If you're going to serve Jesus, y'all ain't getting this tonight. It's okay. Hey, I understand. I understand. I'm off the left field tonight, I understand. But I've been at the spout, and I want you to get this tonight. Good people. Jesus was perfect. He was perfect. Did no wrong. All he'd done was come to seek and to save that which was lost. He come to do the Father's business, and they talked about him. They railed on him. They persecuted him. They hung him on a cross. Folks, I want you to know tonight, if you take a little bit of your reputation and it gets messed up for Jesus, glory to God. Amen? Glory to God. There should be nobody in here with a reputation. I don't want my reputation. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want that. Let me give you this tonight. He says to evaluate the reputation of Christ. Look in verse number 7, if you will. Wouldn't want to preach nothing but the Bible to you. But made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Folks, I want you to know tonight, he was evaluate the reputation of Christ. Let me give you this. If you look to him, to Jesus Christ, his reputation was not a priority. It wasn't. I want you to know he left glory to come here. He left a home in heaven to come here. He left there to come here. So his reputation was not priority. His reputation was not a problem in his life. He had nothing to uphold to. He had nothing out there. It was just him and God. That's all it was. Folks, I want you to know tonight, as your pastor tonight, I've got one thing to do, and that's to stand in front of an almighty God tonight, give him an account of what I do in my life on a daily basis, and you have the same thing tonight. Amen? We have no reputation to uphold. All we have is a relationship with Christ Jesus tonight. The reputation was not a priority. The reputation was not a problem, but the reputation that Jesus Christ had, let me give you this tonight, it was a poor reputation that he had. It was poor. Turn with me tonight to 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians 8:9. I want you to look at the reputation that Jesus Christ had. When you looked upon him, and Isaiah said, there was nothing about him that you would desire him. There was nothing when you looked upon him that make you want him. But I want you to know tonight, not only is his reputation was not a priority, his reputation was not a problem, but his reputation poor in what he did. Folks, I want you to know he did not examine himself poor. He did not put himself out there poor. But if you looked upon the things he had to do, you would think he was a poor man. 2 Corinthians 8:9 in the Bible says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. But for your sakes, but for my sakes, he became poor, woo, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Whew. It just does something for me. This does something for me. To know that I'm no longer poor. I've been adopted into the family of God Almighty. To know that I've been adopted into the family of God Almighty. To know that I own a mansion in heaven. To know that the street of gold that runs through Heaven Boulevard tonight. Folks, to know tonight that I've got a mansion setting up there. To know tonight that he became poor that I might become rich. That he might die that I might live. That he might hang on a cross that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Let me give you tonight what he gave up for you to have what you to have. And for me to have what I have tonight. He says tonight to evaluate the reputation of Christ. He was born in a borrowed stable. He borrowed a lunch to feed 5,000. He borrowed a coat to ride in on Palm Sunday. He borrowed a room to observe the Lord's Supper. You remember that? And he borrowed a tomb to be buried in. He came, he had nothing. Before he came, he had everything. When he came, he had nothing. Well, how'd he make it, preacher? Nothing more, nothing less, but that he was God Almighty. Folks, tonight I want you to know if he can walk 33 years with nothing and survive, you'll be able to walk the rest of your life if you put your trust in Jesus Christ tonight and survive. Folks, he had nothing. that we might gain eternity. He had nothing that we may have a home in heaven. He had nothing that we could have peace tonight. Let me give you this. Not only do we examine the mind of Christ, not only do we evaluate the reputation of Christ. You know what I see in a lot going on? Let me give you this. I'm going to give you what I see going on in a lot of places. What Christians do, they worry. Worry. Okay, man, what's up tonight? They worry. They worry about everything. They worry if the bill's going to be paid. Worry if they're going to have no money to make the bill payment. Well, they worry. They're just completely worried. And my wife sitting over there said, amen, I live with a worry wart. He worries all the time. They worry when the doctor's report ain't even came back yet. They worry when they get the doctor's report. They just worry, 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 worry. Everything they do is worry. They worry. But I've learned something. Let me give you this. Before they come to know Christ, they didn't worry about nothing. Do you remember when you was lost? I didn't worry about nothing when I was lost. If the bills got paid, fine. If it didn't, who cared? It didn't bother me none. Somebody pick it up somewhere. Why? Because he's a different spirit living on the inside now. And it's not a spirit of worry and not a spirit of fear. It's a spirit that I don't trust the man who told me that he's got my future in his hands. Amen? So I want to give you something tonight. Do you ever remember when you was a kid and you was going to go on a trip with your father? Do you remember when you go on a trip with your father and he'd say, hey, we're going somewhere. We're going so-and-so places. And he'd say, get in the car. Do you remember when you do that? He'd say, get in the car. Now I want to ask you a question. A 10-year-old boy, 11-year-old boy, did you say, Dad, you got enough money that we can go on this trip? Dad, are you sure you got enough gas in the tank? Dad, are you sure that the tires are good enough to get us there? Dad, are you sure that this car is going to make it, going to make it back? And Dad, are you sure that we have enough money to eat when we get to that place? And Dad, are you sure? No, you didn't do that. You know what you done? You trusted your dad. When I was 10-year-old, Daddy said, let's go. You know what we did? I didn't have no money. Hey, at 10-year-old, I didn't have a billfold. Why'd you need a billfold? You had no license, money put in. Why have one? What'd you do? I got in that old 79 Chevrolet white with a hole in the floorboard, Brother Kevin. I'm talking about a hole in the floorboard. Get over there in Johnson Bottom, catch you a coon. If that thing didn't want to act right, you just turn it loose in the floorboard. It'd go out in the hole. It'd go out. That's the truth. But I want to ask you a question tonight. When our daddy told us to load up, did you ever worry about anything? Why? Because daddy had it. Folks, tonight, if I give you anything, quit worrying. Daddy's got it. If you can trust your earthly father, can you not trust your heavenly father tonight? If you can trust your earthly father that don't even know how to give good gifts, can you not trust your heavenly father? That's what he's been whooping me out with. Man, he's been tearing my hide up. He's been telling me in my life, your earthly father's dead. That's what I think in my mind. Yeah, but my heavenly father ain't never died. Folks, I want you to know tonight, I want to give you this. As much as you trust that heavenly father, there'll come a day there's something in your life he cannot do for you. As much as you love your heavenly father, there's going to come a day there's something in your life that he cannot do for you. And there's not one thing that Jesus Christ can't do for you tonight. Not one thing. So I want to give you this tonight. As much as you trust your earthly father, I want my daughter to trust me. If she asks me something, I want her to trust me. I'm going to tell her that way. And daddies, y'all know what we do with our daughters and our son. I tell her to do something. She said, what about if it ain't right? I said, don't worry about it. I told you to do it. If it ain't right and it comes back, it'll be on me. Brother Harold, can I get amen? If I told you to do it, you just do it. If it don't work, it can come back to me with it. Folks, tonight, God's doing the same thing. I told you to go. Just go. I told you to come and just sit and listen. I told you. So, but what about if it don't work? You listen to me tonight. If you examine his mind, if you examine his mind, and you evaluate the reputation that he left behind, I want to give you the third thing tonight. It's what you'll do. You will exalt his name. When you realize how many times he's brought you through things in your life, you will exalt the name of Jesus Christ. We went yesterday school shopping. All y'all done that in the room. I know you have. You're getting ready to. I want to give you this. As we go in, Brandy and Kelly, they go to Victoria's Secret. Man, that ain't for you. So when they went into Victoria's Secret, I said, I'm finding me somebody to witness to. Tupelo, Mississippi. I'm going to find me somebody to witness to. I look at the people sitting. You always find you somebody sitting there. And I looked. I looked over there, and this man sitting there with an Alabama hat on. I said, there's my man right there. Fixing the witness to right there. I walk up and I said, what's going on, man? How you doing? I'm doing fine, sir. How you doing? I said, I'm doing good. He said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Winfield, Alabama. Well, that's pretty good. If I witness to him and something good comes out of it, he's got a church home. I said, well, I'm the pastor at Union Chapel Baptist Church. He said, yeah, do you know Radar? I said, no, I don't know who Radar is. I ain't got a clue who Radar is. He said, I work with Brother Kelvin in the mines. He said, do you know Brother Jim Page? I said, yeah, I know Brother Jim. He said, well, my last name's Youngblood, Michael Youngblood. We sat there and we talked Jesus. This pastor shaking her head. You may know the man. He said, preacher, what was that? It wasn't for a witness. Just to talk one with another. Why? Because we had the light of Jesus Christ. I didn't know the man, but I knew when I sat down, I was going to strike up a conversation and see what was going on. Folks, tonight I want you to know God is waiting on you to strike up a conversation with somebody to be a light to somebody. Folks, I want to ask you tonight, are you exalting the name of Jesus Christ everywhere you go? I can say one thing about Brother Kelvin. I didn't know they called you right. I did not know that. Now, he said call him Reds, all I know. We're going to leave it right there. But I do know this. It's what he said about one of your church members. He said he's one of the most godliest men that I know. And you talking about trying to get out of them double doors up there at Tupelo when my head swelled up, knowing that one of our deacons has been out talking about Jesus? My head swelled up, amen? Because somebody was exalting the name of Jesus. Let me show you this in closing tonight. Let me give you this. Not only that blueprint tonight, Brother Kelvin, thank you tonight for following that blueprint. Not only by examining that blueprint tonight, we examine the mind of Christ, we evaluate the reputation of Christ, but in verse number 9, we exalt the name of Christ. We exalt His name tonight. In verse number 9, the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow on things in heaven and things in earth and things that under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Tonight we exalt the name of Jesus Christ because it's a highly exalted name. That name is above all names. Not only because it's a highly exalted, it's because it's above every name. Not only because it's above every name, because it's a bowing down name tonight. Also, it's a confessing name, and it's a saving name tonight. I want to give you this. I started it off. Savior and Lord is the blueprint tonight. He can't be your Savior and not your Lord. He can't be. He can't be your Savior and not your Lord. He said, well, I want to be saved. I want fire insurance. I want to go to heaven, but I don't want Him to tell me what to do. It won't work. From the moment of conversion, the moment that you were born again, there's a struggle goes on the inside. That's fleshly desires, and that's the Father's desire. And that is the difference why when I was lost, I could care less. And now, I have to care. Because when I didn't know what was right and wrong, I could live any way I wanted to. But the Bible says, now that I know, I am accountable for what I know. So if you want to know tonight why the struggle is real in your life as a Christian, it's because from the time of your conversion, there's been a struggle going on the inside. That is that fleshly desire that you want, and that's the heavenly desire that you need. Folks, tonight, there's a battle going on in the Christian world tonight, and that's the flesh wanting to do this, and the Father wanting you to do that. Let me give you this tonight. Savior and Lord, He can't be your Savior and not your Lord. When a person trusts Jesus, we should follow Him and not lead Him around. When you come to know Jesus, it's to follow Him, not lead Him around. Tonight, you make sure when you examine that blueprint and you look at that reputation tonight and you lift the name of Jesus, you make sure He is leading you, you're following Him, and you're trying to lead Him back here. You know He'll never take second seat to nobody or to nothing. Never will. Let me give you this tonight in closing. Is Jesus, I want to ask you now, who are you looking to? Tonight, who do you look to? In your Christian walk, who do you look to? Who are you looking to tonight? Who is your encourager tonight? Who encourages you and sets a fire down in you? Who makes you want to come to church and makes you want to go? Let me give you this tonight. Is Jesus the blueprint of your life? Is Jesus the one that is motivating you tonight? If you're looking to man, you've misread the blueprint. If you're looking to God and let this same mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus, I want you to know you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Tonight, I had no clue we was going to do what we're fixing to do. But I want to share this with you. I believe tonight that blueprint of Christian living is because God's been good to us. Amen? He's been better than good. He just didn't save you and didn't give you nothing to go by. He saved you and gave you a map to go by. He saved you and gave you a GPS to go by. He's gave you something to go by. Miss Denise is fixing to lead us in a song by herself. She's going to come tonight. Miss Denise, if you'll come. And she's going to sing tonight this song for us. I want you to think tonight how good God's been to you. I want you to think tonight about that blueprint and how we're supposed to look to Jesus. This morning, Adrian Rogers said this, and I wasn't going to bring it because I want to make sure you can get it, but I got to bring it. He said this. He said, never elevate the Holy Spirit over Jesus Christ. I stopped. I said, what are you talking about? He said, the Holy Spirit is supposed to convict you, the Holy Spirit is supposed to comfort you, and the Holy Spirit is supposed to control you toward Jesus. Anytime Jesus comes on the scene, you know what the Holy Spirit does? It points you to Jesus. It just points you to Jesus. Holy Spirit's that little ticker on the inside, just pointing you to Jesus. You know who tonight He's wanting you to reverence? Jesus Christ. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He's wanting you to reverence tonight. Miss Denise, as we say.
And I owe my life to Him. I've got so much.